Okay, got the Gemara. Ishkiafli neder be'erkecha, be'erkecha ramali. It says the word be'erkin, it says the word ishkiafli neder be'erkecha, right? That's what it says be'erkin, right? So the question is, why do I need a pasuk from ish to include the goyim? Mivdi. Ishkish be'erkin le'nedarim. By writing the word neder be'erkecha, the Torah is comparing erkin to nedarim. And by nedarim we found, right? Latanya gabe nedarim, ish, matam lemer ish, by carbon, somebody donates a carbon, the pasuk the price of darshans, the rabbi says, I have the kachavim, same night, the nedarim, and the davas, the Yisrael. The goyim can donate korbanos. So here we have the pasuk by nedarim telling me that goyim can make certain nedarim, they can donate korbanos. So why should I think erchin is different? Meaning erchin is giving money to Hegdish, korbanos is giving to Hegdish. The Torah compared the two by writing the word neder by erkecha. It could have just said ishkish kiyafli by erkecha. Why does it say neder by erkecha? It's comparing erchin to nedarim. And by comparing erchin to nedarim, it's saying that just like by erchin, by nedarim, a guy can do it, by erchin a guy can do it also. So ishkiyafli by erchin lamali. So why do we need the pasuk ish by erchin? Again, let me explain the question. By nedarim, we found that a guy can donate a carbon, because the Torah included him by Nedarim. By Erchin, the Torah compared it to Nedarim. So without any extra pasuk by Erchin, I would have figured out that Erchin is like Nedarim. So why do I need the pasuk of Ish by Erchin? Now, as a starter in the next Gemara, the Gemara is going to say we don't need the pasuk Ish by Erchin. Not for that. We need it for something else. The problem throughout this Ohamad is going to be, and I'm going to address it now, is that the Brisa said we learn out from Ish by Erchin that a guy can make an Erech, that a guy can be a subject of an Erech. Why do I need to learn it out from Ish, right? We're just learning now that you can learn it from the Dharam. So the answer is, you're right. The Brisa is just saying, had there been no Hekesh, I would have learned out from Ish that a guy can be a subject of an Erech. But Enochinami, in the bottom line is, we don't need Ish by Erechin for that. So the Brisa is really Lav Dafka. When the Brisa told us that Ish teaches us that a guy can be a subject of an Erech, because there was a contradiction. B'nai Yisrael said no Gayim, Ish said yes Gayim. So we came to the conclusion, it's a machlaikis, as we will see momentarily, but we were going with the Shita, that a guy can be a subject of an Erech, not make an Erech. But the question was, we don't need a pasuk by Erechin. The Hekesh should tell us that a guy can be a subject of an Erech. I don't need a pasuk by Erechin. And the answer is, you're 100% right. We don't need a pasuk by Erech, but we do need the Hekesh. That's all we need. Either Brisa makes it sound like we need the pasuk. The Brisa is Lav Dafka. It's saying, had there not been a Hekesh, I would have used the pasuk for that. But in truth, we are not using Ish by Erechin to include a guy. We learn out a guy from somewhere else. Ish is going to come for something else, and that's what the Gemara is going to get into. So again, to understand this next Gemara, we're making the Brisa Lav Dafka. When the Brisa used Ish to say that a guy could be a subject of an Erech, the Brisa was going, if there would be no other limud, no other way to learn it, this is what I would do. But in truth, we don't do it. So the Brisa, the Rush, calls it Lav Dafka. So at the end of the day, the Brisa that said we learn it from Ish is not operative. That's not what we're learning it from. We're learning it from the Hekesh. So now the Gemara is going to spend time trying to figure out, so what is Ish by Erechin teach me? So that's what's coming up now. So what is Ish by Erechin coming to teach me? Talk to Gemara. So again, so that's what we did so far. We showed us that we don't need Ish by Erechin to include a guy with this point that he can be a subject of an Erech. Because remember, in yesterday's Gemara we learned that there's a contradiction in Sukkim. B'nai Yisrael says that a guy is excluded. Ish tells me a guy is included, or now we would say, Hekesh tells me a guy is included, so we're stuck. So we make a compromise. He can be a subject, but he cannot make an Erech. So what is Ish telling me at the end of the day when I can learn that from Nether? Dr. Gemara El Hai Ish Mi Ba'ilei, Lasuya Mufla Samach Le'ish. It's coming to tell me that a 12-year-old can make an Erech. Now, again, this only works if it's not going to work, because we said even an adult can't make an Erech, because Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara is going to ask that momentarily. But at this point, the Gemara wants to say, I'm sorry?
You're talking about 12-year-old
okay.
Goy, right?
Yes, it's coming to tell me that a 12-year-old guy is like a 12-year-old yid, that he can make an Erech at this point. So we're making a guy similar to a yid. If by a yid it's biblical, so we can compare a guy to a yid. According to the Mandama that says even by yid, a 12-year-old is only rabbinic. Now the Gemara in the question understands that a guy is not going to be better than a yid. If a yid can't, 12-year-old can't make it, why should a guy 12-year-old be able to make it? That's the Gemara's question. Right? If you're going to include a 12-year-old guy, you're not going to make him better than a 12-year-old did. So what is Ish coming for? And for the Gemara, no. Nope. We are going to include a 12-year-old guy, even though we don't include a 12-year-old yid. So now the Gemara is saying that a 12-year-old guy will have more power in Erchim than a 12-year-old yid. And the reason for it, the Rush says, is because a yid, when you give him power, you're also giving him a lav. You're saying, you can do it, but if you transgress it, you're going to be ever alive. Whereas by a guy, you're giving him the power, but it's not going to have any negative consequence for him. So therefore, we'll include him faster as a 12-year-old than a yid. That's what the Rush explains. So at this point, we are satisfied. At this point, we are satisfied. The Hekish teaches us that a guy is included in Erechim, and Ish teaches me that a 12-year-old guy is included. Fracta Gemara. That doesn't make any sense the way we learned, because we did not yet bring this machlokes in. There's a machlokes how to make the compromise. When we have Bnei Yisrael that excludes, and according to the Braisa Ish that includes, but we meant the Hekish that includes, what are we going to exclude him from, and what are we going to include him from? So there's one Mandiyamah that says that we give him the power to make an Erech, but he can't be the subject of an Erech. And the other Mandiyamah says, no, we give him the ability to be the subject of an Erev, but he cannot make an Erev. So again, these are two diametrically opposed Mandiyamim. One Pasuk excludes the guy, that's Bnei Yisrael, and either Ish or the Hekish includes the guy. So now that we have a guy included and excluded, we got to reach a compromise. So one Mandiyamah says the compromise is that he has the power to make one, but he can't be the subject of one. And one Mandiyamah says, no, he has the power, he has the ability to be a subject of one, but he cannot make one. Now, if we're going to include a 12-year-old, we can't include him to be a subject, because even a month-old baby is a subject of an Erev. So what are we including the 12-year-old for? Must be that we're including the 12-year-old that he can make an Erev. But that depends whether you hold a guy can make an Erev at all. According to one Mandiyamah, even an adult guy can't make an Erech. So how can we include a 12-year-old to make an Erech when his older brother or father can't make an Erech? Dr. Gemara Hanicha, this answer that you gave me... I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak up?
That means that if it works, that means that the nedava you're giving to the Hekdesh is Chal Midoraisa, right?
The obligation is Chal Midoraisa. The obligation is, it's incumbent on the person to keep his obligation. Now, that's the question. Is a guy obligated to keep his Erech? Does he have the power to make an Erech, which would mean he would have to give the money to Hedges, correct?
So what happens then is that if he doesn't keep it, he has a lav of Mosisa.
No. He doesn't have anything. He just didn't keep his obligation. That's all. Goyim don't have lav and accept, no. He would not get punished, not down here, but he didn't keep his word. The question is, does he owe it or not? If Bezin could enforce it, did they go and collect from him or not? Did they go to his money and take it away?
And by this being the subject of Erech, is it Jews that are doing this or a Goy is doing it?
A Jew is doing it.
I'm going to give the value of this Goy, and that would not...
Correct.
It would not mean anything?
Correct.
And why would
because it's, okay, let me explain. Let me step back. There are two ways a person can donate the value of himself or anybody else to Hegdish. One is the subjective value, what this guy is worth as a slave on the slave market. And then he owes that money to Hegdish. So if you have a young, healthy 25-year-old who has a life ahead of him, and his what are they called, the ones that figure out his life insurance policy, the actuaries say that this guy is gonna make it big. So his subjective value is worth a lot more than a frail 25-year-old that Nebuch is very sick and might not live more than another year, and the actuaries would not give him a very high rating. Right? That's true when you want to donate the subjective value. And he can donate the subjective value of any person or any item. He can donate the subjective value of a table. He can donate the subjective value of a bottle of soda. He can donate the subjective value of a person. That's
isn't
called
a different,
that's
variable?
Not excuse me. That is a variable.
That's a very variable.
That's a variable. A person can say, I'm donating the value of this table to Hegdish. And we have figured out what it's worth in the marketplace, and he has to give that money to Hegdish. That has nothing to do with Erech. Nothing.
That's a set amount.
And there wouldn't make a difference if it's a guy or a yid, or a table or a chair. Now, besides for that, the Torah wrote a special parsha called Erech, where we don't care what the person is really worth. The Torah sets a value per age, per gender. The guy can be sick and dying within a year and a half, or he can be the most healthy guy. They have the same erech, depending if they're the same age, the same gender. The question is, did the Torah assign an erech to a guy? Or do we say this whole concept of having a definitive value that's not subjective is only by a yid? The Torah never included a guy in it. So the guy wants to give the erech of a 25-year-old guy, he would owe zero. He could give his subjective value, but that's not what he promised. He said his erech. The Torah did not assign an erech to a guy, only to him. That's the question. One man the Amai says, I'm sorry?
Value a different word, Damim?
I was trying to contrast Nether and Erech. I'm sorry. Damim and Erech. I don't care what you want to wear. That's not the point here now. I was trying to describe that when we exclude a guy from Erech, we're not excluding a guy from donating a value of a guy. We're excluding him from donating the Erech of a guy. Erech is not a subjective thing. It's one price per age per gender. That's what I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
You're using words to mean whatever.
But it's not like this, yeah. I'm sorry?
We seem to be using words to mean whatever we want them to mean.
I have no idea what you just said. What?
Bring it closer, Coral.
We're talking.
Is somebody talking to me?
Yes, we're talking about Yes. Dhamma, and we're using the term Erech. Erech is specific psukim, which do not apply.
Dr. Schwab, you weren't paying attention to me. You were not paying it. I'm sorry to say that.
Actually, I was trying.
Let me say it again. I only mentioned Dhamim to answer Dr. Harris, who wanted to know, I can't donate the value of a guy to Hegdish. That was his question. So I explained to him that there's two ways to donate a value of somebody. In one way, it's any. That's what I'm saying. What?
I've been wondering about this for days. Doctor, can I finish? Yes.
Can I finish? So I was explaining to Dr. Harris that every item has dhamim. Every item has a value. But that's not the sugya that we're discussing here. A guy has dhamim, a table has dhamim, a chair has dhamim, a yid has dhamim, a lamp has dhamim. Every item that can be sold on a slave market or any other market has a value. And that's not the sugya here. And there doesn't make a difference a yid or a guy or a chair or a table. Now, I said the Gemara is discussing here something that's totally different, called Erech, where the Torah sets a value on age and gender, regardless of the person's own value. And that, according to one man, the Amar, does not apply at all to a guy. One cannot give his Erech because the Torah did not assign him an Erech. That's what I was saying. Now, what bothers you with what I just said?
No, it's bothered me for 2 days. So why have we been using the term Erech in reference to Goyim? Goyim have no Erech. They have Dama.
That's a machlokes tanoim. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Excuse me. There's one pasuk that says Goyim are excluded from the parasha of Erechin, and there's one parasha that either a hekish or a word that says Goyim are included in the parasha of Erechin. So we have a contradiction whether a guy is or is not in the parasha of Erechin. So there are two mandi amrim that answer that contradiction. One says a Goyim have no ability to give an Erech, but they do have an Erech. And one says they have an ability to donate an Erech of a Yid, but they themselves have no Erech. That's the Machloikis Tanoim. So when you say a statement, the guy has no Erech, it's two ways to interpret that word. Either he can't be a subject of an Erech because he doesn't have an Erech, or he can't give an Erech, but he could be a subject of an Erech. That's the Machloikis Tanoim.
So clearly, everyone holds.
Hold on a sec.
So we're using the term erech differently from the the person who says ishish is using the term erech to mean a biblically assigned value.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Correct. Yes. Somebody else had a question?
No.
Okay. So now, we just included that a 12-year-old guy can do an Erech. But that only works if you make the compromise by saying a guy can make an Erech and not be a subject of an Erech. Then you can include a 12-year-old to make an Erech. But if you learn that the Torah does not allow a guy to make an Erech, so then a 12-year-old guy can't make one either. So what do we do with the word ish? Let's read it inside. The one that excludes a guy who does not have a Torah assigned value. I would think they can't give one. So ish includes them, or the hekish includes them, as we said before. But according to the man d'amar that excluded a guy from giving an erech, I would think they can't be the subject of one. Talmud Lemer ish, right? I feel a tinnit ben chaydish bari ruchihu. If it can be the subject of an erech, you don't have to be a 12-year-old. You can be a month old, right? So what is the Torah coming to include with the word ish? Kiyafli lamali. What do I need ish kiyafli? A guy can be a subject of an erech. What am I including with the word ish? A 12-year-old? A month old can be a subject of an erech. And for the Gemara. Now, this next Gemara, this is where we were up to yesterday. There's going to be two psukim in the rush. And I am going to do the second one first, because it's the easier pshat. Amar Rabbah Rabbah, the Yisuyei Oyved Ochavim Gadol. It's coming to include an adult guy, the Avagav the Gadol, who, even though he's an adult, Ve'eno Yedei Lahafleis, and he doesn't know who he's making a netter for. He doesn't understand what he's doing. Now, what are we including for him? What are we including him in? Now, that's the problem. We're going in the Mandiyama now that we're saying that a guy cannot make an Erech. So if a guy can't make an Erech, what does that mean? I'm sorry? I can't hear.
No one said anything.
I do have a question. Okay. A 12-year-old boy versus a 13-year-old boy, a goy, isn't that a halacha rather than, why is a goy different between a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old?
It's a very good question. But the question was whether we can make a goy better than a yid. That was the question. That's the problem. That's an issue in itself. But we're not going to get involved in that now. It's a sugya in itself, but not for now. Okay, so let's go back. So what does the Gemara mean, li'isuye, to include? What are we including him to? Remember now, we're going into the Mount Yomar that says a guy cannot make an Erech, even if he's an adult and knows everything. So if he can't make an Erech, what are we including this adult who doesn't know what he's doing, who's promising without understanding? So therefore, this first shot of the Rush says, li'isuye means we eliminate even the adult guy. We're including him in the elimination. That when we say, right, that when we say that a guy can't make an Erech, right, that a guy can't make an Erech, so included in that is all Goyim, whether they know what they're doing, whether they don't know what they're doing. Meaning, the Gemara means to say, had I only had B'nai Yisrael that excluded Goyim, and according to this Man D'Amar, it excluded Goyim from making the Erech, I would limit it to a guy who doesn't know what he's doing. A 13-year-old Jew who donates something as an Erech or as a Neder or anything else, even if he doesn't know what he's doing, but if he speaks out the words and he doesn't understand exactly what he's doing, he still has to keep his word. Masha'en Kane, a guy, does not. But we wouldn't know that a guy who does know what he's doing is also excluded. So we have two exclusions.
This call one exclusion is being recorded.
I'm sorry? Okay, fine.
This call one is no exclusion. Longer being recorded.
Why are people doing this?
Dr. Braid's playing around.
Okay, well, whatever he's doing, I don't know. Okay, right there. So the guy being, again, we're excluding a guy that he can't make an Erech. If we only had one exclusion, we would exclude the guy who doesn't know what he's doing. But we wouldn't exclude the guy who does know what he's doing. So Ish by Goyim is an exclusion. Just like B'nai Yisroel is an exclusion, Ish is a second exclusion. And they're both excluding Goyim that can't make an Erech. One is excluding the guy who doesn't know what he's doing, and one is excluding the guy who does know what he's doing. So what the Gemara is answering is, I need Ish as a second exclusion to exclude not only a guy who doesn't know what he's doing, but even a guy that knows what he's doing. Now, in the words, it's very difficult to fit in. First of all, Lisuya always means to include, not to exclude. And number two is, it's mashma that we're excluding, we're adding an exclusion. And really, we're not adding the exclusion of the guy who doesn't know what he's doing. The second exclusion tells us even the guy that knows what he's doing. But the Rush learns that Lisuya means we're including it in the exclusion. When we excluded a guy, we're not only excluding a guy who doesn't know what he's doing, but we're excluding a guy who does know what he's doing. And this is the Rush that we were up.
Rabbi, doesn't... But
I'm listening.
Once says B'nai Yisrael, again, you're excluding both already. So why excluding the other one?
Okay, so the Rush will explain it. Let's read the Rush. Right? I have it as Lasuya Ebikacham She'eni Yedei Lahafloi. You have it there? I don't know if everybody has it.
Actually, where is it?
Yeah, here.
Yes.
Cross from Ishkiyafi.
Before this big line.
I have. Dr. Rush. Lasuya Ebikacham Gadol She'eni Yedei Lahafloi. She'ein a marach, that he can't make an error. Ophisha Kvar Dorich Mebnei Yisrael Lemutu Ebikacham. We already used B'nai Yisrael, which is what was bothering, I think, Dr. Harris. Nakat Hailishna Lasuya Ebikachavim. So we're using the word to include because we don't mean to include. Upirish Kamay Limute. It means to exclude. Kamaymer, what does it mean to say? Lasuya Gamzer Laisadin Shemiatanu. To add this to exclusion. Lasuya means add this to your exclusion. Kvar Ivit Shematinu Kvar Ibikachavim. The tiksha, and your question will be, which Dr. Harris just said, trey mu talamali. So why do I need two exclusions? B'nai Yisrael already excluded a guy. Tiritz, this is the answer. The Eloi ksiv alachad miyutei, had it only said B'nai Yisrael, have a mekminalei, begadlu she'eni yadei lahaflais. I would have said it's only a guy who doesn't clearly understand what he's doing. Ava pisham ha'yisrael ha'imarach. Even though a yid in that circumstances would be obligated in Erchim, Hashtadai Bekechavimu, now that he's a guy, ain't a Marach. Then he doesn't have to do an Erech. That would be the first exclusion. So one exclusion would only be that that we're excluding only the guy who can't make an Erech, not every guy, only the guy that doesn't clearly understand what he's doing. Now, I have over here to look at the bottom in the Chesik Slima. I think everybody has one. So the second exclusion comes to say, any guy, even the guy who understands it. And we couldn't say to include Mufla Samach L'Ish, the Tzarech Trade Kroy, because the Mechat Kroy have a Mekmina Davka Mufla, not period. That's the Rosh's Pshat in the Gemara. Now the Rosh answered, why couldn't we stick with the 12-year-old and say that one exclusion is coming for a 12-year-old and one exclusion is coming for a 13-year-old? Just like you're answering now that we need two exclusions, one for the guy who doesn't know what he's talking about and one for the guy who does know what he's talking about, why don't we say one is for a 12-year-old and one is for a 13-year-old? Dr. Rosh, I can't answer that over there. I can't answer that stick with the 12-year-old, like the Gemara said before. And the first one would have only excluded the 12-year-old. Dr. Rosh, you can't say that. This sugya goes that the Mufla Samach L'Ish is only rabbinic. So I would never have thought of a 12-year-old. Why would I think a 12-year-old is included and I have to exclude him? So therefore, that teret didn't work at that point. Can't say we need a double exclusion. Period. I, the Brisa says, we're learning it out from Ish, right? And the way we're learning now, we're not learning it from Ish, we're learning it from Hekish. Lav davka. The Brisa doesn't really mean it. Ela smachta ba'alma hu b'msechtes nedarim, yafina d'aybe gechavim derach. V'ikya kro, asal aybe gechavim gadol she'eni yadei lahafas. Meaning that the pasuk is going to the, meaning the two psukim, the second pasuk is not going that, it's telling me that any guy cannot be, cannot make an erach, period. Doesn't make a difference whether he does or doesn't know. Meaning the first pasuk would only have excluded the guy who doesn't know what he's doing, and the second pasuk excludes even the guy that knows what he's doing. That's the first shot in the Gemara going to the Rosh. So going to this first shot, the Gemara is using the word isuye to include it in the exclusion. And it's saying that I need two exclusions. One to exclude the guy who doesn't know what he's doing, and one to exclude the guy who knows what he's doing. That's what the Rosh says. Now the Rosh changes a new shot in the Gemara, which is much simpler, that it's not going on Erech. Now, this Gemara's answer is that the Ish by Erech is being used by Neder, where a guy does have a power to make a Neder. He can't make an Erech, but he can make a Neder that only, even a guy who doesn't know what he's doing can make a Neder. That's what the set, it's an inclusion. According to this shot, Ish is an inclusion, not an add-on to the exclusion, but it's not going on Erech. On Erech, no guy can make an Erech. Bnei Yisrael eliminated that. What's Ish for? Dr. Rosh in the second shot, it's not going on Erech. We're using that pasuk for Neder. That by Neder, where a guy could make a Neder, what if he doesn't know what he's clear? He clearly doesn't know what he's doing. So then Ish comes to tell me that he can make a Neder. That's the Yesh Mefarshim. If Eina Inyan Le'erchen, I don't need it for Erchen. So Eim Arichen, the guy can't make an Erech. If it can come, Tenei Inyan Le'erchen. It's different a yid and a guy. A guy, I would know, does not have to know what he's doing, right? And the yid, the yid doesn't have to know what he's doing. And the pasuk is coming to include that a guy also doesn't have to know what he's doing. That's what it's coming to tell me. I need a second pasuk for the guy to include him. Period. That's the end of this piece of Gemara. Now we move on to the next piece of Gemara. Now we have a new question. It says by Naziris, Ish ki yafli lindar neder nazir lahazir l'Hashem. So Naziris is compared to Nedarim. So why did the Torah have to write ki yafli? What did the Torah add with the word ki yafli by Naziris? Ish ki yafli lindar neder nazir lahazir l'Hashem. Why did it have to say that, right? We already compared Nazirus to Nedarim. Says Lindor, Nedar, Nazir, Lahazir. Ish, what does it have to use the word Yafli? Ish, Nedar, Nazirus. I don't know what way the Pasuk would have worded it. But why does it say Yafli, the word Ishki Yafli? That's the question. Dr. Gemara. Mifti, Iskis Nazirus Lindarim, Kiafli Lamali. Why do I need Kiafli? Lasuya Yadayim She'ena Mashichas. And over here, there's two geruses in the Gemara. The Rush learns, Lasuya Yadayim She'ena Mashichas, to exclude that you need a Yad Mashiach. For those who remember, we've discussed this a number of times. How clear does a Yad is a non-clear expression of Nazirus, like he says, aha, or something like that. So there's a machloikas, how clear it has to be. So according to the first shot, the Gemara is in the Rush. The Gemara is saying that Yadayim Shei Mechichas don't work by Naziris. You need Yadayim Mechichas. The Imar, Yadayim Shei Mechichas, Abaye Omar having Yadayim, Rava Omar Loi having Yadayim. And according to the first shot, Rava, the Brises, the word Ish, is telling me Rava is right. Rava is right. Now, the Rush is Gairus. Le Rava Nicha. According to Rava, you just use the word for to tell me you don't need Yadayim Mechichas. El Abaya Mayek Lameimer. But Abaya says Yadayim Shei Mechichas works. So what does he do with the word Yafli? And for the Gemara, Ki Yafli Miboyle Le Drib Tarfin. Now, if you remember, we had Drib Tarfin. That if somebody sees somebody coming, two people, and one says, I'm a Nazir, this is Reuven, and one says, I'm a Nazir, this is not Reuven, Reb Tarfin said, nobody is a Nazir, because it has to be clear at the point when he's accepting it, that he's accepting a definite Naziris. That's what the word Yafli teaches me. Shleinitna Naziris, Elul Hafla, Ein Echamem Nazir, neither of the two is a Nazir, Shleinitna Naziris, Elul Hafla. So again, according to the first way we learned till now, the Gemara is coming and saying, Yafli is to tell me that Yadayim She'en Mechichas doesn't work. But that only works according to Rava. According to Abaye, Yadayim She'en Mechichas works. So he learns Yafli to tell me, like Reb Tarfin.
Second shot. What was the Reb Tarfin again?
That two people are walking and they see somebody coming. And one says, I'm a Nazir, that's Reuven. And the other guy says, I'm a Nazir if it isn't Reuven. Now, either it is or isn't, right? So now they find out who it is. None of them are Nazirim. So right. Tarfin says there has to be clarity at the time of acceptance that he's a definite Nazir.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the first shot of the Rush. The second shot of the Rush is that this is like a Baya, the way we have the Gersa. That it's coming to include that Yadayim Shei Mechichas is good. Yafli is telling me that even Yadayim Shei Mechichas is good. And the Gemara's question is on Rava. So what does he do? He holds it's not good. So the Gemara answers Reb Tarfin. The question is the Gemara saying it's not good and asking an Abaya, or is it saying it is good and asking on Rava? The bottom line is the answer is going to be it's going like Reb Tarfin. Let's read the Rush. Right, the Dharm Naziris are compared to Erechim, where it says the word Yafli, so why did it have to repeat it by Naziris? Ishki Yafli, Linda, Nedar, Nazir, Siv Rachmana, by Naziris. Wadlamali, Rasuyu Yadayim Shei Mechichas, Pirish Lemute, first shot in the Rush is coming to exclude. The Shinim Perakamad, the Dharm Ishki Yafli, the Dharm Shein Mechichas, Loi Havin Yadayim. The Yadayim Shei Mechichas don't work. This is the Rush's change of the Girsa. Yes, Mefarshim, Rasul Yadayim Shei Mechichas, the Havin Yadayim. Some learn the Gemara is saying that it does work. The Nazir is walking in front of him. Right? So I mean an Aha B'tainis Kamar. From my seat, but the Ish, and we're learning it out from Ish, Ki Afli. By Bina, we're including it. Laflo, Ki Hai, Chashiva, Laflo. Then the Gemara asks, what's Rabbi going to do? The Gemara says he uses it like Reb Tarfin. Rest the Gemara, Hanichel, Reb Tarfin. That works according to Reb Tarfin. El Rabbana Mayakilamema, but Rabbana holds you don't need that law. So what is he asking for? And for the Gemara, Elami Boyle is the Tomb. Heter Nidarim, Parchim Ba'aver. This is a Mishnah in, I believe it's a Mishnah in Chagiga. I think they changed it to Kitnan. It's a Mishnah in Chagiga. That the concept of Heter Nidarim, or something that flies in the air, the Ein Mashi Yismaychu, there's no Pasik that clearly states that a Chacham can be Matur a Neder, or that a Besen can remove a Neder. There's no Pasik. It's a Messiah we have from Sinai. But there's no Pasik that we can point to and say, ah, this teaches me that you can be Matur a Neder. There's no Pasik. Rabbi Eliezer Eimer, yes, Rabbi Mashi Yismaychu. Yes, it does have a Pasik. What's the Pasik? Shnemi Ishki Yafli. It says Kiyafli, and it says Kiyafli by Erchen. Kiyafli, Shnei Pamim. What do we need Kiyafli two times? Echad Afloah L'Isser, the Echad Afloah L'Heter. One is to tell me that there's a clarity to make Isser, and one is to tell me there's a power to clarify Heter. And this is the source, according to Eliezer, the hint in the Torah, to Hataras Nadarim, that Chacham or Bezin can remove an Heter. So going, that's the way Rava will learn that, or Rabbi, or whatever was stuck, will learn the word Kiyafli to tell me a source for Heter Nedarim.
I'm not sure I understand the connection there. Because you require the clarity for a
two times, yeah.
For vow, therefore you can undo someone else's vow?
No. Okay, so it's a good question you're asking me. So the way they learn that it says twice Kiyafli to tell me that that he has the ability to clarify his neder in front of a chacham in a way that the chacham will say we can remove it. The second Kiyafli says go to a bezin and clarify to them what you meant and what you're holding now, and they can remove it. I don't know how Art School translates it. That's how the Masifta explains it. What does Rabbeinu Art School say?
To vow the president, expert, a panel in order to release it.
Right. Does the Rosh Hatzin Adarim, Ela, Mikra have no pasuk? Okay. Does the Mishnah write
that? The Goy has to clarify it, or Basin has to clarify it?
He clarifies to Bezin what he wanted and what he's holding by now, and they can then remove it.
And this is a source for Hatoras and Dorim?
It's a hint. Again, the first Maviyama said there's not even a hint in the Pasuk for Hatoras and Dorim. It's totally halacha l'maisha m'sinai. And Rabbi Eliezer is saying there is a hint for Hatoras and Dorim. Is it the source or is it a hint to the source? I don't know.
Okay.
Dr. Mishnah Leiter. Okay, now, back to the original Mishnah back in Shabbat Aleph, was that women and Avadim are different. Yeah, by an Eved, you can force him to transgress his Nazirus. Eved becomes a Nazir. You can go to him and say, I want you to drink wine, and he's obligated to drink wine. So the Nazirus is put on hold until either the owner lets him, or so he gets free. He cannot keep Naziris while he works for the owner unless the owner is acquiesces to that Naziris. But the owner has no right to cancel it. He can just force them to transgress it because the Torah gave the owner that power. The Abbot won't be over any Isser because the Torah said the owner can force you to drink. By his wife, he cannot force her to break her Naziris. That's what the Mishnah said. It's Amal Aleph, Amal Aleph. The Mishnah now adds the second part. There's a severity that Avadim have over Nashim. A husband can cancel his wife's Nadarim as soon as he hears it. She becomes a Nazira, he can say no. He cannot cancel his Eved Neder. Meaning, hey for Ishtai, hey for Alamis. If he tells his wife no, she never has to keep Naziris. Even if he divorces her or he dies, she won't have to keep Naziris. Hey, from Avdai, Yatzalacheris, Mashkam Nazirusai. He goes free, he has to finish his Naziris. Meaning, he would have to keep at least 30 more days it depends how long he became a nazir for, and then finishes nazirus, because the owner only put it on hold. He cannot cancel it. Whereas his wife, he can cancel. The opposite was the last Mishnah. If he doesn't cancel his wife, then he can't force her to break it. His Eved, he can always force him to break it, because the Torah gave him that right. Let's go back in my Gemara. The rush on this Mishnah is on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. I assume it's that way for all Gemaras besides the Ayz V'Hadar. I don't have an Ayz V'Hadar with me, so in my Gemara now, you have to go back to Amud Aleph Samach Aleph. And I have it as the third rush on the new Perek on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. I'm sorry, the fourth rush.
Right.
Shumaser is Nidre Ishtar. Ubafarazu, this Batul HaNeder, the Neder is gone, Mataris Lishtis Yayin, Asla Achashit Salman at Isgarish. She becomes Mutter to drink wine.
Rabbi, could you please, Rabbi, could you tell me where you are? Where are the Russians? Samach Aleph. Amud Aleph.
No.
The fourth rush?
No.
Yeah,
no. Fito. Fito, you have it on Samach Beis Amud Beis. Everybody else, including me, has it on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. I don't have your print now. I have it when I'm there, but I have the other print when I'm sitting here in Pennsylvania.
Gotcha.
So may first Nidre Yishtai. Ubafara Zoom, this Batu HaNeder, Umateris Lishtis Yayin, Aflachis of Salmon at Tezgarish, even after she gets widowed or divorced. Even though you can force him to drink wine, it's still waiting. If he ever gets free, but I have trouble with the pshat I just said. The Hainu Sefer, isn't that the next line? Isn't it the next line that says, Hefer, Ishtai, Hefer, Alamas? What is this saying more than the next line in the Mishnah? Which is the way I explained it. That the Mishnah is explaining itself. What did we mean when we said Hefer Ishtai? It means that as soon as he cancels it, she never has to keep it. So it's an explanation. That's what the Rush says. It's Mefrusha Mefarish. Benira Mefarish. The Rush says, I think you can add a different thing. To Mefer Nidra Ishtai, V'avam Nisratza Achar Harfora. That's what it's supposed to say. She's a kaim is nidra, ain't allowed tyrus nazir. The husband tells his wife, no, I'm not letting you become a nazir. 20 minutes later, he says to his wife, you know what? You can become a nazir. Too late. He can't make her into a nazir once he was made for it. She can accept it again, but she doesn't have to accept it again. She accepted naziris. He told her no. 20 minutes later, he retracted. Tough luck. He can't retract. He canceled it. It canceled forever. Right, she quite this batul haneder. Ubavodim, after the kapol lishtas yayin, let's say the eved became a nazir, and the owner said, "No, you have to drink wine." And an hour later, he says, "You know what? You can be a nazir." And right so on achikach, she climbed the roots. I tarap lekaimai, because again, the eved's neder, the nazirus was never canceled; it was put on hold. So whenever the owner removes the hold, it kicks in. Whereas by a woman, it's not put on hold, it's canceled. Hover la'avdoi, la'avdavke, or shetafol lishtis yayin. You can't force your eved, you can't cancel your eved, you can force him. Okay, now the next rush is on the next Mishnah. So we're going to come back to it when we get to the next Mishnah.
Oh.
Back to the Gemara. I'm sorry?
He wants to know
I have no idea. You would have to ask the printer. I can't answer that question. We will stop here. We'll continue tomorrow morning. And in Meretz Hashem, I will be there in person. And I appreciate everybody's tolerance with me being on the phone. Have a wonderful day.
Safe travels.
Amen.